This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Energy to wake you up. They're the four mop top Beatles. That goes back to 1964. Holy cow. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner and buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Friday, January the 29th already. Holy Toledo. Everything is moving so quickly. Maybe that's why I'm getting so old. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Mike Howell of the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk about amnesty and open borders in the Joe Biden era. Is that what we are going to be looking forward to for the next 4 years? We'll talk about it. And the new president has gone on an executive order frenzy, a real frenzy. He signed 40 executive orders and actions, presidential actions, I guess you could call them, since taking office. So the question is this: is he usurping the job of Congress? And should the Supreme Court step in and stop this? We're going to ask those questions of our proprietor of the only poll that really matters in mainstream America, the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci. So stay tuned for that as well. And we have brought back our latest edition of Campus Quackery. We focus on a school board that is erasing the names of Washington, Jefferson, and Lincoln from its buildings. We'll tell you about that as well. And you know what? We're hosting the Super Bowl, Ed, in what, 7 days is something like that? 9 days. 9 days from today. Okay, anyway. How about the top 10 most lopsided Super Bowl games? Do you think you know, Ed, what is the number one most lopsided Super Bowl game without taking a peek?
Well, I'm not going to take a peek.
I know you won't. You don't have to say. I just want to know.
I think it's going to involve, say, a Washington team and a Denver team.
Okay. We will find out if you're correct. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the at least Tampa Bay's best barbershop, Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. And all you have to do, guys, is call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. Great haircut at a great price. By the way, they're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Also, don't forget Good Morning Clearwater, the only guy on the air that's older than I am, Paul Allen, and his lovely wife, Tracy, will start off your day. They start every morning, 8 to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, on the Tantalk Radio Network. All right, we got a lot of things going on, including this chair of mine, which is about to fall apart. I think, Ed, you plant this chair so you know when I sit on it and I fall backwards on it, you get a big hearty laugh out of it, but that's okay.
I don't know. Paul's been sitting in that for 2 hours. Isn't that
no
problem?
Wonder it's all rickety. No wonder it's all rickety. Okay, now I know why. So I just saw coming in that we might have a new drug company in the mix. Johnson & Johnson said today it's a single-shot coronavirus vaccine. And apparently they claim it's 72% effective in preventing moderate to severe COVID-19.
That's 85 now.
Oh, now it's 85.
Well, the news just broadcast is 85. And
my goodness.
The 60% against the mild form or something like that.
Yeah, I'm seeing different numbers. It says here it started out 72% effective in preventing moderate to severe virus, but fell to 66% in a larger trial conducted worldwide. A So and now we're saying what? It's hovering around that area, yeah, though. All right. So you only need one shot. You don't have to come back again. I think that's that is a big deal.
And it only has to be refrigerated, not frozen.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, why don't you read the story?
Well, I have to listen to it at the top of the hour.
I'm glad. No, I
can play it back, you know.
Ed knows more than I do about all this stuff.
No,
you know? He really does. He just doesn't let you know. No, that's good. I'm delighted. So we got like, what, four?
Yeah.
That's good.
And we also reserved 100 million doses.
Let's not send any to New York. They only screw it up over there.
I'm sending you the bill.
That's all right. I won't pay it. I don't pay any bills, so what difference does it make to me?
It's just our government.
Exactly.
Just print money.
So it requires a single shot, and it was created using what they call adenovirus rather than mRNA technology. Now, I have no idea what that means, so I won't even pretend. But here's the official word. Johnson & Johnson embarked on the global effort to combat the COVID-19 pandemic a year ago and has brought the full force of our capabilities as well as tremendous public-private partnership to enable the development of a single-shot vaccine. Our goal has been to create a simple, effective solution for the largest number of people and to have maximum impact to help end this pandemic. Okay, there you go. Well, that's delightful. Now, I haven't heard much yet. Maybe you have. Can people, when I get to be this age, of course, but can senior citizens just find out where they can get the shot in Pinellas County? Are we, I haven't heard much about where you go.
They're stressing that you keep trying, and Paul and Tracy just got their 92-year-old father done yesterday.
Who did?
Paul and Tracy.
Oh, no kidding. That's great.
Got him done yesterday. So I know it's a process that you have to keep trying the website, keep trying until you get an appointment, and then it's coming through. But if you want to get it done and get it over with. And it just, like I said, it just takes time.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
You got to remember, we're trying to vaccinate so many people.
Oh,
you know, you know, and then you got to get the second shot. So they're reserving.
And then you got to get, and then who knows who's got it. And
that's why DeSantis is holding some of it for the people that need the second dose.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's understandable. You know, this is not easy trying to get this whole thing done. And if you got two shots, it's at least twice as hard.
Mm-hmm.
At least. So it's great if we can have is this the only company that's come out with a single shot one?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this is great news. Now, what's going on with the New York City with all of this? New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's handling of this coronavirus pandemic has reached a new low after an official said that the number of coronavirus cases may have been underreported to the tune of as much as 50%. Now, I heard Cuomo the other day. He said, well, here's what really happened. A lot of these retirement places sent their people that were sick to the hospital, and they died at the hospital. So, therefore, we didn't report it as a nursing home death. Well, a lot of those people that died at the hospital were dying when they sent them to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And Cuomo apparently does not want to take responsibility for those people dying in a nursing home.
Well, you got to remember, Cuomo's the one that sent the infected people into the nursing homes.
Correct. Yeah, he doesn't seem to. He's great about taking an Emmy.
Remember when he wanted the hospital ship?
Yeah, well, happened, he got the hospital ship, they don't use it.
They didn't need it, but then he also sent infected. That was supposed to, the hospital ship was supposed to be for people without COVID.
Right.
So the hospital could handle COVID.
Could handle COVID.
And he sent infected people to the ship.
Yeah, it was all screwed up.
And then he wound up not needing it.
And then he's on, he's doing these fireside chats, you know. He's on, and he becomes a big celebrity. Oh. At least the left-wing media makes him a big celebrity.
He's a media whore, is what he is.
Yeah. So, the former governor, Pataki, added that he had warned for weeks in the early days of the virus that Cuomo and the state health commissioner were doing the exact wrong thing by ordering COVID-positive patients back into nursing homes and elder care facilities. Now, this is an Democratic Attorney General that's released the info. She's not a Republican. Her name is Letitia James. According to the report from her, the potential tally of nursing home deaths could be closer to 13,000 rather than the official count of more than 8,000. So that's pretty bad. Pataki says, I know about leading in a crisis. You have to do two things. You want to make the right decision, or if you make a decision that you question, change it. Secondly, communicate honestly with the people. Okay, well, you know what? Everybody, let's be honest, everybody's trying to do the best they can, and a lot of them are making mistakes. Maybe every one of them has made a mistake or two. Own up to what you're doing. Do the best you can. And that's all you can do, right? We're still learning about this stupid virus as we go along. But everybody's trying. And I guess that's the way you got to think about it. Anyway, let us take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about open borders and amnesty with Mike Howell.
Like the legend of the phoenix, all ends with beginnings.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ole, 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 ole. Ole, 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 ole.
We are back on a Friday, 7 days before we host the Super Bowl here. Holy cow. And Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be in the Super Bowl as well. It's kind of like a dream come true for people around here. Anyway, we are delighted to bring back Mike Howell. He is a senior advisor for executive branch relations at the Heritage Foundation. And he's penned a piece that, by the way, appeared in the Daily Signal the other day. Senate to consider amnesty and open borders with their DHS, Department of Homeland Security, secretary vote. Mike, welcome back. We're going to talk a little bit about the Biden era when it comes to amnesty and open borders. I'm kind of worried about it. What is your take on how he's going to handle this?
Yeah, worried is, to put it lightly, there's the capability for a lot of long-term permanent damage, things that we cannot easily undo or undo at all, that the Biden administration is seeking to do. Before we go down the list of everything, I think it's important to note why they want to do this. I mean, a lot of people would say, oh, come on, who wants open borders? No one would want that, but I'll tell you that's not the case. Those on the left see this primarily as a political issue. They think that flooding the country with millions of immigrants, legal and illegal, and low-wage workers benefits them politically in terms of growing government programs that these folks become dependent on and ultimately getting more votes. And so that's why they're going for such a major, major change this early. They sense the political window for getting this done is short. So they've done a lot already to go towards this vision. I mean, everything you basically can do with the strike of a pen, they're trying to do. They have a bill that's for Congress that seeks That's the big kahuna, the pie in the sky. They want to do amnesty, which basically is forgiving consequences for every single illegal alien in the country, and then give them the right to vote, access to welfare programs, federal level, et cetera. That would be well over 10 million. They're going to say it's only 11 million, because no one knows how many illegal aliens in this country. We've been using that 11 million number for a long time. It just, you know, never changes, but that's what they're using.
What is?
I don't trust it one bit.
What is
what they're really doing is opening the border and ending all sorts of interior enforcement. They're shutting down ICE. Luckily, there's a judge in Texas who stepped in and after Biden issued a 100-day shutdown of ICE and said, no, you can't do this.
Right.
Because what the Biden shutdown would do is release about 10,000 criminal illegal aliens onto our streets, into our communities every month. That would have been terrible for public safety. The federal government just can't tell an agency not to do their job. Congress passes these laws. They fund these departments. We, the people, through our representatives, agree to do these sorts of things. The administration just can't come and say, you know what, we're just not going to do that at all. We're going to put, you know, violent illegal aliens in your neighborhood.
Right.
It's just crazy.
What is the rationale for Democrats to want to have such, I guess, frenzy at the borders? Do they really believe that people will buy into the fact that when these people pour over, that they're going to vote Democratic? I mean, does the Democratic Party really believe that this is what's going to happen? Is there a reason for promoting? This is chaos. Yeah, it's chaos to do it. And I can't think of even Democrats that want to start spending money for welfare programs and health care and all these other things for people that are not even U.S. citizens. It does not make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, well, the short answer is yes, they do. They think it translates into political power for them. They think it helps accelerate turning red states blue, Texas being the big prize. It also just grows the dependency on federal government programs, which is a plus for the left because it grows the size and importance of government. The problem is that the left wing of this country has kind of lost any sense of moderacy.
Really?
It's really the far left progressive tail wagging the dog here. I was surprised to see. I thought there would be a little tension between the Biden administration and some of the just radical immigration groups that, you know, just want to basically shut everything down. They're thrilled with everything that's going on. Not a criticism amongst them. I mean, the Biden administration just adopted their plan. I mean, this is a president who's really, deferential, I would say. It's a staff-driven presidency, not really leadership coming out from him within his own administration. He's just there to sign the things and make the proclamations. And so the staff has been captured by, you know, these kind of immigration groups. They're just working through their wish list.
Yeah.
And I mean, Kamala Harris is our first indication when she was selected as vice president. I mean, she supports virtually everything up and down the line that any far left open borders activist would. I mean, it's like the Open Society Foundation. You know, George Soros' group is, you know, getting their entire wish list. There's no disagreement between them and what's happening. And just look at what they want. It's really dangerous stuff.
We're talking with Mike Howell. He is the senior advisor for executive branch relations at the Heritage Foundation, and he worked at the Department of Homeland Security, so he knows of what he speaks, and he also can compare what's going on today with what perhaps was going on when he was there. You know, Biden, and I heard somebody say this, maybe you've heard this as well, Trump was full of bluff and bravado, but actually he governed fairly moderately. He governed fairly. If you look at what he's actually done, it's kind of down the middle. Now, here comes Biden. Biden's a little less bluff and bravado. He's quieter, right? He's quieter. And yet, he's upending this country with some of the things he's trying to do, the 40 executive orders. He is far more out of the mainstream, far more out of the mainstream with his actions than Donald Trump ever was. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. I think, frankly, President Trump had wanted nothing more, than, you know, especially his early stages, than to kind of reach out across the aisle. I mean, he came in as a political iconoclast, you know, not really a long-term Republican or, you know, former Democrat or what have you. He wanted nothing more than kind of the buy-in on some things from the left and be like, you know, a great American president and go down like that. You know, you can look at his priorities. Look at the First Step Act, you know, the lessening of the federal penalties on, you know, some offenders. That was cheered by some of the left long ones that Republicans could do. Obama couldn't even do it. Like, he got it done. That shows where his kind of political instincts were, trying to do things to get buy-in from the left. Unfortunately, you know, from day one, it was just the project of the resistance to make it so any sort of unity on that front was absolutely impossible. But the administration is a four-year effort of President Trump just trying every option on the table to get some sort of Democrat buy-in.
Yeah.
Things obviously broke down and got, you know, ugly. You know, Nancy Pelosi ripping up his speech and so forth and refusal to sign COVID packages because it could hurt him politically, that kind of stuff. But what we're seeing from Biden is the exact opposite of the Trump approach and the exact opposite of the reception in the media. There's not a single thing that Biden has done so far that as a conservative I can say, like, wow, like this is buy-in. Like, we can get behind this or our input was considered. I mean, Biden's already redefined the term unity. He said the other day that a bill passed on strictly party lines are still unity. I don't know what that even means, well, but that's what they're working with.
First of all, even the New York Times is saying for him to stop. I mean, they've cried foul about it. The New York Times, it's the biggest, most liberal paper in the country. And they're rebuking him. The editorial board said, you know, you're just doing too much of this. He signed, in 9 days, he signed 40 executive orders. That is, in the entire Obama, you can combine Obama and Trump's entire presidencies. They didn't sign that many. What? And here's the other thing. Isn't this usurping the power of Congress?
Oh, it absolutely is, at least in the traditional sense, that you try to get things done via legislation because you want your policies to be permanent and sticking and lasting. Like, it's not the way to govern where we have this whipsaw of executive orders. Congress needs durable, lasting legislation. Obviously, executive orders can be undone by the next guy. And Biden has said so before. He's on record saying that he would, you know, want to move these things through the legislative process. That's how you get the country to buy in. You have the elected representatives debate these things.
And then why doesn't he do it?
The Biden administration. What's that?
Why doesn't he do it?
Well, I think it's my assessment thus far, it's a very weak presidency in the Oval Office. I think essentially, I like to say Ron Klain, the chief of staff, is the de facto president. Biden's there as the figurehead, but this is a staff-driven operation.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think of that and the people who occupy those positions, imagine, you know, we all had those classmates in high school who maybe had, you know, purple hair and wanted to cancel meat in the cafeteria and organized boycotts of the Pledge of Allegiance and, you know, all these crazy stuff. That's virtually the character of a lot of people occupying the positions that are actually writing the things that he ends up signing. I worked in D.C. a long time. I know these people. These people are radical. They're not centrist.
Yeah, it's
and
scary.
They're the ones teeing up stuff for Joe Biden. It's honestly a country being run by just radical staffers. And you got a very weak president who's just signing these things, not reading them. And you know, it's like Anchorman, you know?
Yeah,
Ron Burgundy, just reading off the teleprompter, whatever.
See, now you're bringing out my worst fears. That's exactly what I see when I watch this guy signing papers. It's almost like he's a doddering old fool, and they're sliding things in front of him. It's like those movies where they say to the guy, you know, no, this is your will. This is what you really want on your will. Just sign here. You know, and they got this old man at the table. He can barely sit up. You know, signing a document. I mean, getting to worry about this.
In front of them.
Yeah. So can the Republicans take this to the Supreme Court and say, wait a second, minimum wage and open borders and this and that? Can't they go to the Supreme Court and say, you know, can you stop this?
Yeah, on a case by case, they certainly will. We saw that in Texas. You know, after Biden wanted to shut down ICE and tell them to release criminal aliens into your neighborhood, the Texas AG sued and got a temporary restraining order for 14 days. We're going to need state attorneys general to be the heroes of kind of the pushback on this because they're the ones who can sue on behalf of the state. Also, you know, these public interest groups that represent certain areas need to step it up. But there needs to be a conservative, legal pushback on this stuff, a check. And that's something that the left used masterfully against President Trump. And I say masterfully because they just had Hawaii judges that would agree with everything they said and issue nationwide injunctions. Well, you know, they made the rules and changed the rules for the Trump presidency. And so there's going to be a legal backlash to that. And that will come from the state attorneys general and the other brave folks who are willing to really litigate this.
Oh,
that requires, you know, attention, funding, resources, spirit.
Absolutely. Mike, always a pleasure to talk with you. I mean, I'm really afraid for our country. I've never been this worried about, I don't know, the whole fiber of our country. But it's always great to talk with you, and thank you for keeping these kinds of things in front of us. I really appreciate it.
You got it.
All right, buddy. We'll talk with you again. All right. There he goes. Mike Howell, Heritage Foundation. All right. Going to take a break. And when we come back, Biden, with his executive order frenzies, he signed 40 of them. Is he usurping the job of Congress? Let's talk to the proprietor of the barber pole about all of this, Andrew Ceraci.
Sherry, baby,
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I gave a girl. Hey, we're back. Thank goodness it's Friday. I used to say that, but now that I'm thinking about it, you can't go anywhere. So Friday isn't quite as wild as it used to be. But I hope we're getting closer and closer to having everything open up. And speaking about that, the master barber himself, Andrew Ceraci, is with us, and his places open up, and you get there and you get the best haircut you can get, guys. Makes you feel better, even if you can't go anywhere with it. So, Andrew, I don't know if you were listening to our interview with Mike Howell. We were talking about these 40 executive orders that Biden has signed. I mean, this is getting really kind of scary. I mean, can you just stand there as president and say, okay, now we'll do this, and, you know, spend all kinds of money doing it, raise the minimum wage, open the borders, close the Keystone Pipeline. I mean, this guy is absolutely, I mean, our worst fears in terms of being so radical.
Well, Paul, you should be afraid.
I am.
What this guy is doing, you should be. I mean, 40 executive orders, trying to change everything. You know my definition of stupid, Paul?
Go ahead.
Biden the other day sat there and says that when people fly in from Europe or this, they get a proof of a vaccination and be COVID tested, right, to come into our country. But what about all the people coming across the border? It's okay to have open borders, but if you fly in an airplane, you got to have all kinds of documentation.
Yeah, if you follow the rules, you got to. If you follow the rules, you got to stand in line. If you don't follow the rules, come on in.
And how about we open up the restaurants before we open up the borders, huh?
Exactly right.
Okay, Paul, the country is falling apart. And you know what? People are seeing it. 88% of the American public do not like what's going on in 2 weeks. 88%.
I think
Houston Report.
If we went back, right now and voted for president, I think we would get a different outcome.
Well, Paul, it was rigged. Let's be real. Okay? That's the only way they got in. And you know what? We're all going to find out the truth here, and this is all going to work itself out. Believe me, I got the faith in that. You aren't turning this country around the way you did with what this guy is trying to do. The gas is going to be $5 a gallon in July. We're depend everything that they're doing, Paul. Is watch the money trail. They want the railroads were falling apart, so now they're going to ship the oil by railroad, and they're going to use these big oil freighters that go for all kinds of diesel, pollute the ocean to carry it over from Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is going to build another city of Dubai out of gold with our money. People see this, Paul. The Americans aren't that stupid. Don't get me wrong. There's a bunch of them. I mean, I listened to them yesterday, and I got to say, I'm sorry, but these guys are going to have to trade in their luxury cars for a moped, man. And they all voted for this. Give me a freaking break.
It is so hypocritical also. It is so. Look at John Kerry. This guy, now he's going to be our environmental guru.
Yeah,
he has his own chartered plane. He's got more pollutants coming out of his back end plane, you know, when he goes up in the air with it. Then he's going to go around.
He's polluting the air, Paul. Believe me.
I know.
No, Paul. This is all going to fall apart. This is going to bite them in the rear end like they never seen, and it's not going to happen to the midterm elections. It's going to happen way before that, Paul.
You know, I was concerned about having Kamala Harris take over. Now that I'm thinking about it, she might be less radical than the guy that's in there now, Biden's.
Oh, she's telling him what to do.
You think so?
He was standing by his desk the other day. I saw the video. He's signing papers. He goes, I don't know what I'm signing here. She goes, just sign it. It's okay. It was a video of it.
I never saw that one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what,
Paul,
I'm signing.
People are living proof that the college graduates that we're bringing up today, look at them. Yeah. These are college graduates running this country, buddy. I'd rather have a pipe fitter there. They know what's going on more than this stuff.
Speaking about school, you don't know how many kids in this country have been out of school since March of 2020?
Look at the teachers in Chicago.
No, but think about
it. They're refusing to go back to school.
That's correct. But think about, we have wasted a year with kids out of school. We're talking about the 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids. These are the kids that the foundation of their education is in grade school. And we've taken a year of their lives and not given them any education.
Well, this is why you see kids in other countries excelling over our kids. We're breeding stupid kids, Paul. We've been doing it for 2 decades. And now you're seeing the end result.
I'll tell you what. And then, like you said, when you've got teachers' unions that are saying, no, we're not going to go back until... Well, if you wait forever, it's never going to come, because forever never arrives, right?
Well, that's what they're looking for. They're staying home, taking care of their kids, going on a computer, teaching a class. Come on, they got it made. People aren't stupid. Yeah. Get your rear ends back in school or you're fired.
Yeah, you know what I would do in Chicago? I'd say, you know, this is the perfect excuse to take my kids out of a rotten public school system and move it to a private school and take their kids to a private school where they have the choice of opening or not, are not opening. Look for the schools that are able to educate these kids during this virus, and get them enrolled there, maybe.
Well, I've seen the difference between kids that go to the private schools compared to kids that come into public schools. And I'm not saying all of them, but I'm saying 95% of them. I see the kids coming out of private school ready for a career with respect. They know how to dress. They know how to take care of themselves. They know how to present themselves. They're ready for the future. These kids that come out of these public schools, Paul, 5% of them are ready for the future. The rest of them are living in their parents' basements.
I'll tell you what, that's been going on for a while. The private schools have always been ahead of public schools. Even when I was a kid, I'm not kidding you. I remember graduating from a Catholic school and going into high school and wondering why I was kind of relearning my freshman year, the same things I had already learned my eighth grade year. And the kids from the public schools have not been introduced to that stuff. So there really has been, for a long, long time, that kind of a thing with private schools. I think more so than ever now.
Because the government's involved in their education. That's
correct.
Why.
That's correct.
Period.
That's true.
period. You're going to brainwash these kids. This is what you're going to teach them. Well, Paul, party's over. This country right now is reaching a point where there's a bomb underneath it. These Democrats are hanging themselves. People do not like what's going on. Let me tell you something. People got Biden remorse like you've never seen.
I think you're
They're asking if he came with a receipt or he's got a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Yeah, I don't know if
Or should I say voter-back guarantee.
Yeah, right. We should have a 30-day on that, you know. And if we decide that the guy doesn't seem to know what he's doing, have a referendum to get him the hell out. Now, you'd have to get a lot of signatures.
I would like to talk with these liberals today, and I want them to tell me how they can back up everything that's going on. I believe we'd make hamburger out of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, it's kind of a very scary era. So do you think, Andrew, that, let me ask you this, when all of this settles down, and I don't know when, do you think we'll get over all of this? Is there any positives you can get? Or do you see any rainbows down the road at all?
Oh, Paul, I've seen the light at the end of the tunnel right now because people are seeing what's going on. They are not happy, Paul, period. I'm saying within 4 or 5 months, you will see this country in an uproar that people are going to want to draft Donald Trump to be president.
Yeah.
Okay, they will draft him, believe me, and I guarantee the liberals will draft him because you know what? I see some liberals driving around in real nice cars and they talk a good line, but they don't want to give up that car for a moped, believe me.
Now, Trump has been talking with the Republican Party again. I think it's Mike McCarthy that he was talking with that came over, invited him over to his place in Mar-a-Lago, Florida.
Well, I wouldn't say that it's the Republican Party. I would say one person because, yeah. I don't like 90% of the Republican Party at this point in my life.
Well, it indicates possibly that Trump's going to stay in the Republican Party, don't you think?
Well, we're going to see what's going on. I hear things in the backwoods, and I'm not going to talk about it right now. Very classified information.
Okay.
But I hear some things going on in the backwoods, and believe me, you will see things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These people are hanging themselves, Paul. The American public, or should I say the Dominion voting machines, gave them enough rope to hang themselves.
Yeah.
Okay, and you know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping that Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani go through with this lawsuit that Dominion wants to sue them for $1.3 billion. Gusto. You know why? All the facts will come out, Paul.
Well, it's interesting because speaking about that, you're right. Dominion has filed a defamation lawsuit. They filed it at the beginning of the week against Giuliani. It's a 107-page lawsuit filed in Washington. It says Giuliani carried out a viral disinformation campaign made up of demonstrably false allegations. And I wonder, you think that Giuliani could win that?
Oh, yeah, Paul. They got proof. Listen, the proof was never admitted. It was never allowed. No evidence was ever allowed. Every judge, oh, no, we can't see that. Oh, no, we can't. Let me tell you, I believe Sidney Powell and Giuliani will make hamburgers out of them. People will see the proof because this is no longer a political thing. You understand?
Yeah.
They'll see the proof put right in front of them, Paul.
Well, he's going to have his day in court now, literally.
That's right, and that'll be perfect. I hope they televise it. Because I guarantee you, Sidney Powell's going to be right there because they're talking the lawsuit against her, too,
So
go for the gusto. Yes. They're waiting for this day.
Yeah, they say, taken together with a lawsuit against Sidney Powell, the suit represents a point-by-point rebuke of the what they call one of the more outlandish conspiracy theories surrounding the election. Here's what the suit says, quote, Dominion was not founded in Venezuela to fix elections for Hugo Chavez. It was founded in 2002 in John Poulos' basement in Toronto to help blind people vote on paper ballots. The suit later adds that the headquarters for the company's United States subsidiary is in Denver. So they're gonna go point by point. It'll be very interesting to see what goes on with all of that. But in the meantime, boy, oh boy, as I said a little earlier on the show, I've never been so worried about our country.
Well, you know, Paul, I actually know now how Barack Obama got elected the second time. That was a fraud election just like this one. This has been planned out, Paul, what's been going on. And this is why they hated Trump so much. He broke their plan, buddy. He built the wall between where they were and where they were going.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's why they want him out and they hate him so much. But let me tell you what. That's going to be the one guy that's going to unite this country, not the Mamaluk you got in office and Mr. Hussein there, the other president. They're out to destroy this country. They were there then. They're criminals. They're crooks, and it will all be come out, Paul.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. Things are... Oh, boy, oh, boy. We just got to kind of keep our fingers crossed. I hope we can settle this thing down, and if Donald Trump comes back and wins again, God bless him, maybe we can. Anyway, thank you very much, Andrew. Appreciate it, as always, and we will be talking with you on Monday.
You got it, buddy. Have a good day.
All right, sir. There he goes, the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, we're going to dust off Wilbur the Duck. We focus on a school board that's erasing the names of Washington, Jefferson, and Lincoln from its buildings.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And by the way, we are here. Freedom Works is here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. However, maybe you don't get up that early or you're doing something else. You can go to our website, listen to our show anytime you'd like. Big Ed, bless his little heart, puts all of our shows on podcasts. So go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look for the podcast button. And when you get there, you'll see all of our shows recently with the latest show first. And you'll see who the guest is and our top 10. And just sit there and relax and enjoy it. All right. Well, I don't know anything or hardly anything. In fact, I never heard of GameStop until this controversy came up on Wall Street. And apparently, the White House is staying out of this whole chaotic situation. Their press secretary was peppered with questions, and she refused to answer directly about all the market volatility involving GameStop. And these companies that are apparently, you know, that when you go to make, now you can go online, right? And you can make investments and you can buy and sell. But a lot of these companies, these bigger companies, are not allowing people to go online and buy and sell GameStop. Now, I don't know exactly what's going on with it, but I hear that they say, like the small-time investor, you know, has had a chance to run around in the same environment as the big guys, you know, with buying and selling GameStop. Do you know anything about it at all, Ed?
Well, GameStop is a brick-and-mortar store that sells video games, kind of like, you know, Blockbuster did and you know, with the videos. But now it was starting to really tank because kids could now download the games that they want instead of going in and paying for them. So for some reason, they were shorting the stock or something like that, and then all of a sudden it shot up over 100%.
Yeah,
because now it's down 50%, and it's just all over the place. I think there's an investigation going on. So
the White House doesn't want to talk much about it.
I don't think they need to. You know, even
Janet Yellen, who would become the Treasury Secretary under Biden, has got like several hundred thousand dollars worth of this GameStop thing. Ooh. So what's going on here? You know, it's kind of weird. We'll follow it. Maybe we'll learn more about it as we do. All right. Dust off Wilbur the Duck, my friend, because I have got a story for you for campus quackery. This is, I mean, not even people like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson are safe from cancel culture, apparently. The American icons were among a list of historical figures whose names will be removed from San Francisco's public schools following a 6-1 vote by the school board earlier this week. Isn't that the dumbest thing you ever heard? Abraham Lincoln is going
to
be...
What did they do that they need to be removed?
That's the crazy thing about it. Washington and Jefferson were both slave owners, right? So we kind of get the woke mentality on that one. Lincoln ended slavery, but apparently he became controversial because critics claim he oppressed Indians. Indigenous people at the time. Well, I mean, there were all of these Indian wars that were going on back then. This is in the early to mid-1800s, you know. And 1860 when he took office, okay. But all of these things with the Indians and everything, people were involved in fighting all over the country. I mean, he was president. I don't know exactly how they can claim he wasn't necessarily anti American, Native American, I don't think. But anyway, these were, the presidents were among a long list of men and women whose namesake schools will soon be renamed. They're even taking Dianne Feinstein's name off of one of the schools. She apparently did something wrong, too. So it's becoming a real suppression. Wow. This is getting very scary. All right. Before we go to our top 10, and by the way, we've been doing top 10s on the Super Bowl recently. I want to ask Ed. Ed, we have a week to go, basically, before the Super Bowl. And I just want to know, is there any current or additional news on the teams, Kansas City or Tampa Bay, that we should know of? Or is things kind of going along smoothly?
They're going along smoothly. And if anything, any players that have... some boo-boos here and there. They're getting healthy for the extra week.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Bucs will be at full speed. And I think that, you know, Mahomes could use the week off, too, with his toe.
The quarterback from the Kansas City team.
A couple of our guys. So I think everybody will be at full speed.
Mm-hmm. We'll ask you your and my choices as to who's going to win on Friday, a week from today. But in the meantime, everybody is excited about all of this, and let's hope everybody is healthy. Okay, time for the top 10 most lopsided Super Bowls. I want to find out if Ed knows what's number one. Here we go. This, by the way, I went down and looked in a couple of different websites. I had actually put this all together. It wasn't that easy to get all of them, but it's basically by the point differential, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I'm going to ask you, Ed, as we go along, if you remember the game and can give me any highlights. We'll see how much you know. Mm-hmm. All right. Number 10. It was Super Bowl 33. Denver Broncos 34. Atlanta Falcons 19. And do you remember that game at all?
Who was it again?
Denver.
Yes, John Elway's. He was... Might have been his last game.
It might have been his last game, yeah.
I remember that the Atlanta Falcons, I can't forget, remember his name, it was in Miami, I believe, and their defensive back was in a strip club the night before and hung over during the game.
That's pretty good that you remember all of that. Were you with him?
Yeah, I remember the important parts.
Yeah, the very important part. All right. Number 9. Super Bowl 18. Los Angeles Raiders 38, Washington Redskins 9. That's a long time ago.
That was in Tampa, in the old stadium.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
The old saddle?
the Sombrero, yeah.
Sombrero, I'm sorry.
So Marcus Allen broke through for like an 85-yard touchdown.
I'm very impressed that you remember that. All right, number eight. Super Bowl 37. Well, this one I know you'll remember. It's Tampa Buccaneers 48, the Oakland Raiders 21. And we had a great defensive team, the Buccaneers, did we not? John Gruden?
We had two of those picks. The interceptions were run back for a touchdown.
Name a couple of the great defensive players. Can you remember on
Derek
the
Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp, John Lynch.
There you go.
You know, guys like that.
God, yeah. All right. Number seven. Super Bowl 35. Baltimore Ravens 34. New York Giants 7.
I believe that was also in Tampa.
Okay. Do you remember anything about it?
What was it, 2000?
35 would be 67 to 35, 77, 87, 97, about 2003, 2002?
2001, I think.
Okay, so it was like a couple years before the Bucks.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, okay. Where are we? Here we go. Number six, Super Bowl 29, San Francisco 49ers 49, San Diego Chargers 26. That must have been a Joe Montana game. That's a Joe Montana
game. Yeah.
That was like 1985.
Yeah, absolutely.
That it was 85 and Joe Montana. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number five. Super Bowl 22. Washington Redskins 42. Denver Broncos 10.
Yeah, first quarter, Doug Williams slipped and hurt his knee.
For the Redskins.
Yeah, for the Redskins. Was out a couple of plays. Okay. Came back in first play. He threw a bomb for a touchdown, and they scored like something like 34 points or something like that in the second quarter alone.
Boy, I'm impressed with you. You're a walking encyclopedia. I got to go quickly on these, and then we'll get to number one. Number four, Super Bowl 27, Dallas 52, Buffalo 17. Super Bowl three. Number three. I'm sorry. I think this is Super Bowl 16. Seattle 43, Denver 8. All right, number two. Super Bowl 20, Chicago Bears 46, New England Patriots 10. I remember that game because I'm a Bears fan. Mm-hmm. You know that William the Refrigerator Perry got
Payton did not score a touchdown, and they were very upset about
they
that.
They were, and he was.
Mike Ditka said if I could do that over, it's one of the first things I would do over
would give Walter the ball. Yeah, because he was that was towards the end
he
of his career.
He was very upset.
Yeah. Yeah, this game was in 1986, and we had Jim McMahon at quarterback, but they had the best defense I've ever seen.
Yeah, the Bears 46 defense.
Yes, indeed. All right, Ed, we have come to it. Number one, what do you think was the most lopsided game?
Denver, I know, was in one of them. The other team, I think, was San Francisco, and I can't remember. I think it was Joe Montana also.
Okay, roll the drum. You're right. Super Bowl 24, San Francisco 55, Denver Broncos 10. It was a one-sided game. And was Elway with quarterbacking?
Yes.
But was Montana quarterback?
Yes. Yeah.
There you go. I think Montana was one, maybe the greatest of all time, but up for debate. Anyway, we will be back Monday. Be safe out there, and remember, freedom works.